Join me in a word of prayer, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be at work in our hearts and minds. Father, we thank you for the gift of sending your Spirit to help us with things we don't understand, to give us a strength that we don't have, Father, to draw us closer to you. We thank you for these things, Lord, that we too, because of your Holy Spirit, are drawn to you. Your love and grace and mercy you gave us through your Son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. So it is graduation Sunday today that we are recognizing. So how fitting would it be to start graduation Sunday off to lighten the mood up a little bit, since it's usually kind of a celebratory day, with a few jokes? For all you kids that have just spent the last 12 years carrying books to school in your backpack, you are now prepared for a career in backpacking. And for Sarah Massey, who graduates college, you are now giving up the agony of writing term papers, and now you can experience the agony of writing resumes. So a student goes into his professor's office to beg for mercy about his bad grade, pleading to his professor for some mercy, saying, "I would do anything to pass this class." The professor looks at the student and says, "Really? You'd do anything to pass this class?" The student pleads even harder, "Yes, whatever it takes." The professor has this look as if he had a great idea and said, "I know what you can do. Study." Lastly, this past fall semester, there were two sophomores. They were doing really well in their chemistry class. So as they're heading into the final exam, they know they've got A's in class right now, and they figured, let's go out of town for the weekend to enjoy it. We'll be just fine. So they head out of town with some friends. They have a great time. The only problem is they stay a little longer than anticipated. They don't get in town until Monday, just before the final. They haven't had time to study. They're not prepared for it. So they go to their professor, and they tell him, "We were out of town for the weekend, and we were going to come back Sunday to study, but we had a flat tire. Couldn't make it in time. Can we take the exam tomorrow?" And they were surprised when the professor agreed. So they studied hard that night. The next day they showed up to take their exam, and the professor hands each one of them and makes them sit on opposite sides of the room. Think, okay. They open up their exam, and here's their first question worth 5 points on free radical formation, and they thought, great, I studied this. This will be easy. They finish that first one, and then they turn the page to the next problem worth 95 points, and it says, which tire? So a little humor, I thought, fitting to start a day that's usually a day kind of filled with anticipation and excitement. For all of you grads, you know that you got this big, bright future ahead of you, and so you're excited about all of this. You may not realize, though, there's different emotions happening in your parents right now. This is often a day where they feel old, and they're sad, and they're broke. But you high school kids, you recognize at this point you're heading now off to a new chapter in your life, this new and exciting phase where you're off on your own. Kind of exciting, because what does the world hold for you? You wonder that. For Sarah, in the case of graduating college, here you are completing everything that you have set your sights on all through your journey in school, and now you're ready to go out and see what you can do with that to make that happen. This is exciting because what graduation is graduation means you've now completed the necessary work that you've been preparing to do to go out now and take that next step, to spread your wings, if you will. It's time for you to leave the nest and fly on your own. That's what graduation is all about. But you see, my friends, the message I want to share this morning isn't just designed for the high school and college graduates. It's designed for all of us. Because this message applies to all of us about being prepared for something and then going and doing it. And I'm talking about our spiritual graduation this morning. I'd ask you to please rise for the reading of our sermon text. Our sermon text this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You may be seated. Before we get into our sermon text, I think it's fitting, though, that we do address the graduates now and our high school graduates, because you got a whole new adventure ahead of you. It doesn't apply to the college graduates as much, because at that point you're kind of starting to get it. You're kind of starting to realize a little bit of what awaits you. But if you're high school grads, I want to encourage you with a couple quick things. You're going to hear a ton of advice, so I'm not going to dwell on this too much. But the first thing I'm going to tell you this much right now, you will come to realize that your parents were right, and you're going to miss them. You think that you don't, but you will. I remember back in college, and the dorm rooms that I was in college, we were all the jocks. It was all the football and baseball players. So here you've got this dorm wing of just ultra-macho guys, and I remember still we were about, the first one started, I think, about 6 weeks into school. Everybody's hanging out in the lounge area, and somebody would notice that one guy's missing. Hey, where's so-and-so? And we just kind of, somebody might say, oh, he's in his room with the door closed. And we wouldn't say anything else about it, because we knew he was on the phone. Mom, I really miss you. And it would usually be anywhere from a 45-minute to 2-hour-long call. And none of us ever gave that person a hard time, because we knew eventually it would be our turn. And usually what would happen is that guy would eventually come out of his room, his eyes would be red, and, what's up, guys? We just kind of nod, and we just all knew. You never made fun of that person. And so you will come to realize, you will have that point when you realize, my parents were right, and I really miss them. Another thing I want to tell you guys about, that life is scary. All right. What you're going to realize is, not only were your parents right, but you don't know as much as you think you do. And that realization is going to kick in. Oh, maybe I don't really know as much as I thought. And that's okay, because you're going to come to realize that life is your greatest teacher. Your experiences are your greatest teacher. Well, unless you're going to, you know, you have to learn from it, all right? You actually have to learn from the lessons that life teaches you, but that's how it works. But I want you to understand something, too. That's how God teaches you and guides you. You will have situations come up in your life. God has prepared these situations for you. How do you handle that? Because they will help you in your growth. And I want to tell you this much. When you're facing your different situations in life, lean on the Word of God. Turn to that for how to get through those situations. You will find that will create for you a solid foundation of who you are going to become in life. Let God's Word shape you, not the voices of the world. The last thing I want to share with you, graduates, there is nothing that you can do, and this one is so important, that can separate you from the love of God. You see, you're stepping off into a world now that really has no interest in the truths of God. It's going to hang you out to dry. It's going to leave you on your own. Do you know what? God will always be there for you. You are going to make some bad choices in life. I have a feeling every single person in here can hang their head in shame if you look back at some really dumb things you've done in life. Life is going to knock you down, because the world doesn't particularly care about you. You have family and friends that do, but the world's going to keep doing its own thing. You're going to be hurt in life. No matter what comes your way in life, God will be there for you when you turn to Him and seek after Him. And not only is God always there for you if you seek after Him, but I want you to know this church will be as well. The church will always be here for you, arms open, embracing you, because you are one of ours. Now, with that being said, I want to speak now to our church. Because, you see, this graduation affects us as well, as I was talking about. And what a fitting way to talk about this. What a fitting day to start graduation on, because we're talking about this new chapter in our life where we, as followers of Christ, need to see our spiritual life as that as well, because today is Pentecost. We celebrate Pentecost. Do you know what I view Pentecost Sunday as? It was the graduation of the church. Because what happened, you had Jesus who told his disciples now at this point to wait, for the Spirit was going to come upon them. The Spirit was going to work in their lives, and he said, wait, these are men that have spent the last 3 years with Jesus, learning things that we can only dream to learn about, knowing the depths of God and His Word more than any of us, and yet Christ tells them to wait. He tells them to wait for the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God came. Over 3,000 people heard the gospel that day on the day of Pentecost. The church, that seed of the church, was planted that day. It was that graduation for the disciples that you are now on your own. You have learned what you needed to learn, and now I am sending you out on your own. And our spiritual life needs to be viewed that way as well. As we go back to our sermon text in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, it talks about this, friends. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the world of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That is our measuring stick. That is how we are to measure ourselves in our spiritual growth. You see, we have to stop and say to ourselves, am I growing in my relationship with God? Is my faith becoming stronger? Is my relationship with God becoming closer? Am I becoming a transformed as the new creation that I am called to be? Am I loving others as I am called? Am I sharing the gospels I am called to do? Or do I just come to church on Sunday morning for 60 minutes and that's it? Because if that's it, it's hard to say that you're getting solid food. That's a spiritual infancy at this point. And infants are expected to grow. We are expected to be growing. It's not healthy to not be growing. At some point, and it's with all things in life, all the training that you receive in life, at some point you need to go out and put that to use. That's why you learn things, and your spiritual life is no different. Everything that we are learning, we are to be putting into practice. So how do we grow? There's a million ways to grow closer to God. Scripture's full of it. I want to pick one verse. I picked one verse that I thought was a great one. How we grow closer to God, James 4, 8. Very simple. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So this warning right there. But beforehand it says to draw near to God. Well, how do you draw near to God? You draw near to God through his word. That's the whole point of his word. That we could understand it, because it's his word that teaches us about his holiness, his great power, his immeasurable love. Most importantly, his plan of salvation for us. That's how we get to know God and God's character. That's what his word talks about. That's how we get to know him. The second part then is it tells us to get the sin out of our life. Remember, sin is what separated us from God in the first place. So how are you supposed to grow in your relationship with God? How are you supposed to be closer to God when you have active sin in your life, keeping that divide between you two? It separated us in the first place, and it will continue to keep you from him when you are actively pursuing it. But you see, with spiritual maturity, as you grow in your relationship with God, you suddenly find yourself seeking after the things of God's heart and not after things of this world. That's what comes with that spiritual maturity. More interested in that. Your prayer life even changes. You suddenly start praying what's on God's heart. You pray for what God cares about. You don't pray for your own daily needs. Yes, we can pray for our needs, but have you ever sometimes evaluated your prayers and realized what percentage of it is about your own personal gain? And what percentage of it is about what God wants? As you grow spiritually, you start to pray these things more. Lord, what do you want? How can I be used by you? This, my friends, is the result of solid food when we take it in that we get from the Word of God. Which leads me to my final point in our spiritual maturity. Because spiritual maturity has external results as well. This isn't just what it does for us. It's what we do then as we grow. This is where God sends us out into the world to be his workers. We have been trained and we are now prepared to go out into this world. And there's another graduation joke I want to share with you because it kind of ties in. A young man was hired by a supermarket. A young college grad had reported for his first day of work. And the manager greets him with a warm handshake and a smile, and he hands him a broom and says, your first job will be to sweep the store. The young man says indignantly, but I'm a college graduate. The manager said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Here, I'll show you how. You see, college can make you book smart. You can read about things, but when you step out into the real world, you don't know what to do. College will tell you how a broom works and its purpose and who invented it and all these other good things, and it does not tell you how to sweep. You got to learn that. And that's how the real world works. But it's not that way with God. That's the amazing thing about it. It's not how God does it. You see, what God does is he does not send us out to fend for ourselves. God realizes this is a world that is hostile to him and his teaching. So what he does is he calls on us to learn, to grow in our knowledge and our faith of him, and then he empowers us with his Holy Spirit. What a beautiful tie-in graduation Sunday with Pentecost. That receiving of the Holy Spirit by the disciples, they were graduated, they were ready to go out and to move on. They were told to wait. You heard this in our scripture reading this morning. I mean, going back to Luke 24 and 45 through 49, as Jesus is talking to them, telling them everything about the scriptures, all pointing to him. They know all this stuff, and yet he says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." When you go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, it's that scene being retold again by Luke, and he says, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And the result of it, listen to the result, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We don't just graduate and are handed a broom and said, "Figure it out." We graduate, and then God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what he has called us to do. I think scripture is so amazing. If you read through it and you find all the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives that help us in that next level. These are some of the things that I found in scripture. The Holy Spirit gives us knowledge and an understanding of God's word. It's way too deep for any of us to understand, and we're given that clarity and understanding through his Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the words we need to defend our faith. People have questions. They question something. When you're trying to explain something, the Spirit of God will give you those words that you need. The Spirit helps us to discern and understand God's word, to know what is right and wrong, as the world is teaching us one thing. God's word stands this. We can understand how to apply God's word in our world today. The Holy Spirit helps us with evangelism as we spread that gospel message. As Jesus said, to all the ends of the earth, we are given the power to do that through God's Spirit. Spirit helps us put aside our sinful actions and our sinful desires. Instead, we grow and we mature, we become closer to God. It helps transform us. That's that transformation process of putting aside that old that we were and becoming this new creation in Christ. The Spirit helps us in prayer. Those times we don't know what to pray and say, the Spirit of God intercedes for us. It's not even all the things the Holy Spirit does. It's just a list of how he helps us mature and grow. God has given that to us as we graduate. We are not left on our own. Because God knows it is hard for us to live set apart from this world. He calls us to be different. The world is trying to pull us one direction. It's heading its own way. His word calls us in a completely different direction. But it's the Holy Spirit that keeps us in line with the work that God has set before us. The plans that he has for you, Spirit empowers you to go do it. Those friends, as we go and share the gospel message of forgiveness of sins through Christ, we know that God is with us and his Spirit is with us. We can share that message, the message of hope that has so filled our hearts as well, that others can see it. Because without the Holy Spirit, we ourselves can't grasp it and understand it. So for this Pentecost Sunday and graduation Sundays, we recognize the kids that have graduated. We ourselves realize that they have put in the time and work necessary for the next step in life, and spiritually we should be doing that as well, preparing ourselves for that next step, whatever it is that God calls us to do. Every phase in our life, he will be calling us for different ways in which we can serve him. This is what he has prepared us to do, but as I said before, when God prepares you to do something, when he calls you for it, he equips you along the way, because he makes sure that any plan he has set in motion will be fulfilled, and he will give you what it takes to do it. And I don't know about you, but I find that kind of exciting. We see God's plan folding, right, and unfolding in front of our eyes, and we're part of that plan. To be able to stop and say, he's using me, feeling that is. And so as the disciples were instructed to wait for the Holy Spirit before they went out, You look at the result of that. That was the seed that planted that became the church that we have it today. The difference is they were told to wait. We in our time now, the Holy Spirit is here and is active in our lives. Friends, we don't have to wait. Instead, we should go out and be doing. So ask yourself as you leave this today, what are you waiting for? Please bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who not only draws us closer to you, Father, but gives us the power and the strength to become the person you created us to be, each and every one of us, Father. Thank you for that gift, for empowering us. May your Spirit always draw us closer to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.